Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, condensed the Anything Combat show, where we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we have an interesting guest. She's popping off on social media. She's a DJ, Taekwondo black belt, Muay Thai fighter. Please welcome to the show, Dua Scara. How you doing, Dua?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. The first question for today is that all your content revolves around the fact that your ACLs, both of them, are fucked up. So can you run me through that? What happened? How did that all start?
So I tore both my ACL when I was quite young. So when I first started Taekwondo. And at the time, you're not really thinking about S&C or rehab or like mobility work, for example. I was addicted to Taekwondo. I would literally go to three classes in three different gyms every day. So I'd be traveling 1 hour on the train from gym to gym. And when you get the Taekwondo, the martial arts bug, you know, like you just can't stop. It's all you think about. And especially as a teenager, it's all you want to do. It's your social space. It's a whole other world. And so, yeah, I overtrained and I ended up tearing my ACLs.
So interesting. When I fucked up my hamstrings, I fucked up my knee, but when I fucked up my hamstring, I was still able to train, you know what I mean? And I saw that even with your ACLs being gone, you still had like good training, you know, like you still trained, you still did stuff. So when you're doing that, I've never actually heard of anyone that had both their ACLs gone and they're still jumping around. So what's the problem? Like what, you can't bend in certain areas, you can't squat? Like what's wrong?
So it's more so when you change direction, the ACL stops your knee from shooting inwards, right? So essentially, as I like to say, it busts a U-turn, it just shoots inwards, right?
I saw the hospital clip with the doctor like bent your knee backwards. That's disgusting.
I know. I had to put a trigger warning. I knew it was going to piss people off. But essentially it stops it from doing that. It's a very common sporting injury. You see it a lot in football, or should say soccer. You say soccer in this country. And martial arts. The first ACL tear was a partial tear. So I had half dangling. And I just qualified for the European Championships, and it was my first time really representing Great Britain on a global stage.
Sorry, what age bracket?
This was seniors of 18.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you can fight seniors when you're 17 and up in Taekwondo.
Yep.
And so I had qualified. And then, tore my ACL, and I had 5 months to get my shit together so I can compete. So I didn't actually tell them that I had torn it, otherwise I would have been scrapped. So I just went ham on my rehab for 5 months, and I was able to compete for them, and it was stabilized. And I realized you can actually strengthen the muscles around your knee to cope without an ACL. You'd also avoid certain movements that might trigger it jolting inwards. For example, I can do an axe kick with my left leg, but I can't do it with my right leg because if I lift my right leg, my base leg might shoot inwards. So I'll just avoid that movement altogether. So you sort of cater your fight style around your injuries, as most people do. But now I've gotten to a point where, so that ACL surgery that I just had 12 days ago, that was the tear that I had when I was 17 years old. And that, as I said, it was a partial tear. It's been 6 years since, and I just thought, let me just get it checked out. Let me get a scan done. And they were like, there's nothing left. It's eroded to nothing. And I really want to take fighting seriously, and I wanna push myself as far as I can go. So I thought, okay, I need both knees intact. I wanna be able to do all my movements. I wanna be able to throw everything I could throw back at my prime, so that's why I did the surgery.
Dua, tell me, is the aggression that you have from the Iraqi side of your family?
I think the aggression comes from the nature of doing Olympic-style Taekwondo. And if you go to like a high level taekwondo class, or even in Korea, like the universities that do taekwondo there, it is go 150% every fucking class. If you're not smashing the pads with 100% power, you're getting kicked out. Or you're doing 100 push-ups and then you're getting back in. Like, it is fucking ruthless. So you really build that grit. And so by the time you enter the ring, it's light work for you. Whereas when I transitioned to Muay Thai, it's a bit more laid back with the pads. It's slower pace. It's like more focused on technique. And so when I first did the Muay Thai class, I was screaming. I was like, ah! And then the coach was like, just calm the fuck down. Let's scale it back a bit. And let's just, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I'd hold pads for other people. And I'm like, why aren't they hitting harder? What's going on here? It's just the nature of the sport. And that's how they like to train, right? So it's definitely the Taekwondo Olympic style in me that's turned me into the fighter that I am now.
Dude, most people would have argued the opposite, to be honest. I do want to ask you about the Taekwondo. So, a lot of people talk shit about it. I know for a fact that when you get to the top 1% of Taekwondo and karate, you're like good to go in the UFC type shit, right? But the below the 80, 90% of Taekwondo gyms that I've seen, bro, they're pretending to fight. They're pretending to fight. Like, I'll put it out here. I don't give a shit, right? So, what do you have to say about those shitty gyms? Like, which gyms did you go to in the UK that were actually good?
There's a lot of McDojos out there, I
Yeah.
agree, right? And there's a lot of people, as soon as they get the black belt, they think they can open a school and they can bring kids together. And parents will send them to those schools because they don't know what qualifications they actually need to teach Taekwondo, right? But when you go to a school that specializes in Olympic style Taekwondo, that have students that represented the country, it is cutthroat. I can't explain to you the intensity of the classes. You're going at it for 2 hours. You're at least exerting maybe 10,000 kicks. I'm not even joking. And it's constant up and down Korean style roundhouse, 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 roundhouse. Then you hold it for the roundhouse, roundhouse, and you're screaming your lungs out. And if you're tired, get fucked, you know? So it's like, it's insane. And trust me, I've been to shitter Taekwondo schools. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how you're teaching. I don't know why this hasn't been standardized. And the thing with Taekwondo black belts is, so you've got like 9-year-olds that have their black belts, right? It's not, it's fucked because you can't tell now, are you a good black belt or are you just a, you know, did you just do your time and you got given it? So I don't blame you. It's really hard to distinguish between the good fighters and the bad fighters. And there's also a side to Taekwondo that just focuses on forms, for example. So these people can't even fight to begin with. So yeah, it's you need to check the credentials of the gym. You need to make sure who's the teacher? Does he have fighters that have actually competed, you know, nationally, internationally? You need to see them around comps, which isn't information that's easily accessible for a parent who wants to send their child to Taekwondo, for example.
I saw your training with Trainer Gay. So, how did this go for you, and how did you meet him?
So train, I've always wanted to train with him. I see him all over my socials. And you know that saying, don't meet your heroes, because like they might disappoint you.
Yep.
He exceeded my expectations. Like, he is so lovely. He's a big softie. Yeah, his class was so fun. He's more theatrical in the way he holds pads and stuff. It's not anything that's groundbreaking, don't get me wrong, but it's just his whole persona. And he actually told me, we told him you should come down to Australia, and he was like, no, I had a Australian girlfriend, she broke my heart, so I'm never going back there. So I was like,
Isn't that interesting that all the Thais say that? They do say stuff like that. All the Thai trainers, they're always talking about how, oh, this girl broke my heart or this thing. They're funny people, man.
Yeah, he said Thais wear their hearts on their sleeves. So, yeah, he is a big softie.
I saw your first Muay Thai fight, so can you just assess your performance? What do you want to improve on, and how do you think you went?
Oh my God, there's so much. We're looking back at it now. I've really changed a lot since that fight because I went to Thailand. And then the penny dropped, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Like, I get it stylistically and what the judges were actually looking for. So, in Taekwondo, it's objective scoring, right? You wear magnets, you like socks that have magnets, and you wear body armor. And so, once you kick against the body armor, and if you reach a th certain threshold based on your weight division, then it will register up on the screen. So you're not relying on showing off to the coaches, I mean the judges. Whereas this is like, okay, I need to basically dance for these judges, right? I need to impress these guys. And I
Yeah,
was
you need to make your opponent go flying into the air basically for Muay Thai.
Yeah, but I in my head, like I hadn't fully shifted into that mentality. And so I was kicking, and it might have been too fast for them to realize, okay, like she actually landed a pretty good roundhouse. And obviously there were taekwondo snappy kicks. And I think going in as the taekwondo girl in a Muay Thai ring, I was already prejudged. It's like when you have a judo guy enter a BJJ comp. No one wants the judo guy to win, right? So I was like, okay, no one likes me. No, obviously everyone wants the Muay Thai chick to win. And so we started striking, and I was the dominant striker. So I think she knew, obviously, she's going against the taekwondo girl, so she kept closing in and going into the clinch. Constantly, constantly. And the clinch is fucking draining, man. It's not like my go-to thing. And she was throwing like the safe knees, the inner thigh slaps, I like to call. And I didn't realize that was a high scoring move because I'm in the clinch and I'm like, surely this isn't scoring. Sure, like, because it's not hurting. All I'm feeling is like rubbing against my ribs. And yeah, by the end of the fight, it ended up in a split decision that went her way. And I just really couldn't understand because, like, thinking back to the fight, I'm like, I landed so many significant strikes. And then she kept going into the clinch and doing the knees, safe knees, I should say. And yeah, I guess stylistically, they wanted to see more Thai moves, right? So, as a performance, they wanted Muay Thai demonstrated in a, aesthetic way, whereas I was just going in to hurt, and I was like, bah, 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 like really pouring my heart into the kicks, and maybe I haven't demonstrated enough Muay Thai for them to, get the win. But yeah, huge learning curve. Went to Thailand, and then my style completely changed. Completely, I was doing more Thai shit now, and it's fun. It's fun to completely switch over, and yeah, rebuilding your foundations from scratch, it's gonna take a long time, especially because I've been doing Taekwondo my whole life. But yeah, it's getting there. I'm throwing more punches now as well.
How do you port the Taekwondo into your Thai stance? How do you do both into one, merge into the doer style?
To the doer style. I do a lot of weird shit sometimes. For example, like if I were to catch off my lead leg, I would throw an axe kick, for example. And that always throws people.
Creative.
Yeah, that always throws people off. Or I would do like a straight line roundhouse to their rib. And it's creative, and like my gym has caught on to all my tricks. They're really like ready for it. Whereas if I'm up against someone new, then they're like, what the flip is this girl doing? And it's really like bizarre for them. Again, I don't know if that would impress judges. I guess it depends on the judge. So I don't know if it's, like I'm weaponizing my taekwondo, but I don't know how effective it would be in scoring points in Muay Thai. I'm still figuring that part out. But the taekwondo stance is bladed, and Muay Thai is very square on, right? So there's always like, for example, if I'm doing a back kick, there's an additional step to go into bladed stance and then back kick. So it comes up in a straight line. Whereas if I were to do it from the square stance, it would shoot off in a different direction. Or my roundhouse kicks are a lot snappier as well. My front leg, so I don't actually switch and then kick for my switch roundhouse. I just throw it up and I dig my hip into it, which my coach said, look, it hurts people, and I always get the liver shot, but it might be too fast for a judge to register the power of that kick, for example. They really like the exaggerated switch, show that it's coming round, and then land it.
You were talking about the clinch before and how it's draining. I like to describe it as poison damage, if you know what that is in video games. The poison
Poison
damage
damage.
is like, it's like you're by holding on to them, they're getting tired. It's grappling a little bit. It's just burning them, basically. My striking mates, when they were grappling, they were like, this is 20 times harder. So, to be honest, in my opinion, it's always the grapplers that have better cardio, to be honest, because you have to, there's more strength involved with it, and it's grinding. It's a grinding pace. So, have you ever grappled?
I've done maybe like four BJJ classes, and it's the most humbling thing anyone can do, because I'm like slowly getting choked to death. I'm like, what the flip is this? Can't say that, can't say that I really enjoyed it, but and everyone I tell this to, they're like, no, you need to do it for at least 3 months, and then you'll start enjoying it. I'm like, I can't do that for 3 months. I'm sorry, in the hopes that I will start enjoying getting choked out. Like, no. Maybe one day, but at the moment I'm in Muay Thai mode.
So you said that because you're a minority, you've taken off on social media, and I said to you, why don't I just start doing makeup tutorials? So, does your theory still stand?
Think social media, if you're genuine, if you're genuine and you've got a talent, you'll take off. Because I'm not the first female martial artist to jump on social media. Okay. Like, and I think it's because of my Taekwondo background and then going into Muay Thai, because of that hybrid style, people find it interesting. And Taekwondo movements, they're fun to watch, especially if you're doing tornado kicks. It's like, oh, that's fun and aerodynamic, and all of a sudden you're throwing it in Muay Thai contexts, then it's interesting. So yeah, you've got to have some skill, and if you've got a personality behind it, then you'll go far.
Your comment section is one of the funniest things I've read in a while.
So which videos?
There's one video, he said some shit like, you're like, oh, sparring here, and I'm like one of the only girls or something. And then some bloke, so a male, like you can tell he's like 6'3", he's got a fucking ponytail. And some guy goes, there's literally a girl at the end of the video. And I'm like, bro, okay, you could tell he's got broad shoulders, six
Yeah, he's
three, like that's a
got
fucking guy. I don't think that's a girl. But what
Yeah.
was the other one? The other one I liked
It's
was
funny because that guy with the ponytail came up to me and was like, you don't understand how cut I was when I read that comment. I was like, I'm so sorry, bro. He's like, the one time I make a cameo in your video.
Another one that was funny was the critique about you sparring. So there was a lot of people in the comment section saying, see, this is why I don't spar women. I go 30%, they go 80, and they think that they're beating me or something. And your comment section is fueled with hate. So I just want to ask you about that one in particular, about the sparring with guys. So what do you have to say to that commenter, seeing that he's made a cameo on the show now?
I think I get those comments when my videos go viral, and then you get the influx of weirdos and incels and men with small egos. I'll be triggering people, but like, I am a 49 kilo girl. I'm tiny. I'm like 5'2". I'm tiny. So when I go up against a man and I'm going full power, it's not actually hurting them. Like they're
So you
not.
admit it. So you admit it because they were under the impression that you thought
If I'm up
because
against an 80 kilo male, my Tamagotchi is going off. If I'm up against an 80 kilo male and I'm going full power with roundhouse, and sure, it's not gonna knock him out, right? So it's actually exciting for me because it's for them, it's like, all right, I need to lower the power because I know if I go full power, I could probably knock her out, right? Those are men that understand how to spar women. And so if I'm going full power and I'm able to finally unleash and like, learn from it as well, because I'm not able to do that with girls my weight. I wouldn't do that with girls my weight. It wouldn't make sense. Like we draw it back because we could really hurt each other. But going up against a man, for example, I'm like, oh my God, I can finally unleash. I can finally, feel like I'm in a proper fight and learn from this. And they understand that too. So it's like for men to comment that, it's like, oh, he could knock you out if he went full power. Yeah, he could. That's why we have women and men divisions and weight categories.
Nah, you're getting all worked up. I've pissed you off. You came on the show, you're all happy, and now you're angry. Let me ask you about signature. So the question mark kick, is this your go-to?
No, it's not. I don't have a go-to. I do like a back kick. I think all my KOs or TKOs have been through back kicks, all of them, in Taekwondo and in Muay Thai. A back kick to the liver is quality.
The trick I have for that, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm still trying to improve it, is that I throw a lead hook and then off the spin of the lead hook, if it lands, if it misses, I throw the back kick off it because you can't see it, right? It's just one little layer that you're more confused about. So do you throw this and what other setups do you have for your usual back kick?
Yeah, I mean, always like starting with hands is always great. And it's something that I've had to develop over time because before I would just throw the kicks because I'm used, obviously, Taekwondo brain. And then again, people at my gym started to pick up on that. I'm like, okay, I need to set these up better and I need to focus on my boxing. So, yeah, lead hook, as you say, into back kick. Or if you're, for example, I like to counter a lot. It's the least, you could use the least amount of energy and get a significant strike out of it, for example. So, if someone's rushing me, that's, ideal. So if they're rushing, a jumping back kick would be the perfect thing to do in that situation, because they run into the force as well, and you're in the air exerting that. So it's I've actually landed a KO from that. I wouldn't throw it. Can I just do a thumbs up?
Yeah, every single time that pops up, I always get confused. Sometimes I try and do it and it doesn't pop up. Let's see if it happens now. See, what the hell?
Hell, oh my God. This is great. Yeah, I was saying jumping back kicks are awesome as a counter. And I think in Muay Thai, we focus a lot on the attacks, but not so much on attacking whilst going backwards, for example, which I think is an edge that I have over other fighters.
What did your parents say to you when you started fighting?
They hate it. They absolutely hate it. I come from a very typical conservative Middle Eastern family. And when I did Taekwondo, I actually didn't tell them. I told them that I was going to the library, but I'm actually going to train. And it's just because I knew they'd hate it. And then eventually they found out about it. They tried to stop me from going. And yeah, with time, I started winning competitions. I got selected for the Great Britain national team. And all of a sudden, my pops was like, hold on, you're actually good at this. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And yeah, he came and watched me fight, and he was like my biggest supporter. With that being said, now that I do Muay Thai, I haven't told them because Taekwondo is a lot more controlled in the sense that you're wearing body armor, you're not allowed to kick below the belt, you're wearing head guards. It's not as aggressive as Muay Thai, where you're copping elbows to your face, knees to your stomach. I know they would just drop dead if they knew I was doing this.
Will you tell them?
Like they know of it, but we avoid talking about it at, in family conversations. They'd rather just turn a blind eye to it. They don't want to know. Yeah.
So why did you start training to begin with? What did you see that you were like, I need to punch people and kick people in the head?
I don't know. I was always drawn to martial arts, and it's something that I don't know what it was.
Did you watch a movie?
No, it wasn't even a movie. It was just I felt like I would be really good at it.
Do you know what it was for me? What it was for me, I had two moments. The first one was that I saw Sage Northcutt do a somersault in the
Okay.
ring when that went
Yeah.
viral, and I went, fuck, this guy can do flips, right? So
Not even
that led,
straight, just a
not even. I just saw the flip. I go, fuck, this guy's parkour is fucking sick, right?
Oh, I need to do parkour.
And then the second one was I watched John Jones versus Gustafsson one,
Oh,
that
yeah.
fight. And
Yeah.
when I watched that fight, I went, yeah, this is the best sport there is.
When did you start? How old were you?
Dude, I've been on and off for a very long time. Only now because of the show, I've been doing way more training, way more proper training, you know what I mean? When I was like 4, I would have been doing like judo, karate. Then when I was like early teenager, jiu-jitsu. And then late teenager, striking, boxing, Muay Thai and stuff. And now it's like I just train in every single one. And because of the show and stuff, I'm just jumping across Melbourne, which a lot of people have had a critique about because they're like, you need to stay loyal to one gym. But I've just been jumping around gym to gym, gym hopping, and just getting good training in and trying to kill people.
I don't know what the stigma is about jumping from gym to gym, honestly.
It's about loyalty. So the explanation that Ali, shout out Ali McLean that came on the show the previous episode last night, he said that it's about loyalty. Your coach is giving you, he's sacrificing his time for you. So for you to go to that gym for let's say 2 months and you're taking his time, sometimes these fight gyms, they don't charge. Sometimes they do, right? If they're constantly investing their time when they could be doing something else, right, into you, and then you go, all right, thanks for all that information. I'm just going to leave and fight for another gym now, MMA boxing, right? It's like it's disrespectful from a loyalty aspect. And I think that's the perfect explanation because it's not airy fairy, it's just objective. This person's done something nice to you, and you've basically in some way or form, you've betrayed their trust.
I think it makes sense if you're getting free training, right? It would feel disrespectful, but if you're paying a gym to provide services, like it's I don't know. I would disagree. I think you should be you would have your home base, for example, and you'd have your gym there, but they shouldn't restrict you from visiting other gyms. You should be confident
That's how
in
I feel.
your ability to be like, you go out, fight other people, because that's gonna allow you to progress as a fighter as well. And you can come back whenever.
So with the fight that's coming up against Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, I want to ask your opinions on this. I think this fight is like hilarious. It's like basically King Kong versus Godzilla. That's the best way I can put it, right? But I think it's just fucking bullshit. It's just a bullshit fight. It's gonna sell though.
100% it's gonna sell. At the end of the day, this is to monetize. This is to make money, right? And I don't even think it's pay-per-view. It's on Netflix for everyone to watch. I want to know how big the paycheck was because this is insane. Like, this is a crazy matchup. If Jake Paul wins, it's rigged.
What are you talking about? The bloke's 57. He might be pumping, to be honest, I saw some clips of Mike. He looks like he might be pumping some testosterone. I'm not gonna lie.
Do they check? It's an exhibition fight, right? It's not going to go on his fight record if he
Yeah, they're
loses.
probably, to be honest, it's so big that they're like, all right, take whatever, everything's allowed.
I'll be honest, he's got nothing to lose, man. He's going to be cashed up by the end of it, win or no win. So I think it's entertainment purposes, it's bloody genius. Like, it's fun to watch. And as you say, influencers now are getting more views than actual UFC fighters. Because it's losing its entertainment value. They'd rather see a normal person jump in the ring and, like, okay, fuck, okay, what's gonna happen now? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's got a place for it in society, clearly, because people are tuning in and people are excited for it. So why not? Why not?
Do you have plans to go to MMA at all?
So I'd love to. Like I said, I've done six BJJ classes and I've been humbly choked out every single time. At the moment, I want to focus on Muay Thai. I really enjoy striking and I want to get better from on that side and then see where I go and then transition into more grappling, maybe further down the road.
Do they do any grappling at the Combat Collective?
They did one at Combat Collective. They did one BJJ class, but it was predominantly a Muay Thai retreat.
Did you enjoy that camp?
Yes, so I went to promote it basically, and it was really unique in the sense that you're surrounded by women, which is obviously you're a minority in most gyms. In the martial arts world. So being able to it's like an empowering energy when you're there. It's nice to, come together in this like testosterone-filled environment and just be badasses. So it was fun. It was really fun. It is more catered towards beginners and intermediate level, I would say that. Yeah, just something to bear in mind. There were a couple other fighters with me, and we sort of stuck together and trained together, but for the most part, it is catered towards beginners.
Where else have you been training in Thailand?
I went to three gyms. I went to Khun Sook in Krabi, I went to Super Pro in Koh Samui, and I went to Bang Tao, which was with Combat Collective in Phuket. All three very, very, very different gyms. So the first one, Khun Sook, I would describe it as a social media gym. So it's the beautiful gym that's four floors, and on the last floor, sorry, the top floor, there's a beautiful, beautiful landscape of water, mountains, trees. And as you're training Muay Thai, by the end of it, you just feel so euphoric. It's unreal, and you're looking back out, and there's the sunset. It's unreal, but there's a lot of beginners there, a lot of beginners. So if you're going there to like prepare for a fight, for example, I wouldn't recommend it. If you're going there to have fun, and you want to, just faff around and explore Krabi, great gym to go to. They do have like their fighters squad, with that being said, but you would have to commit to at least 2 weeks before they invite you to that circle. So you've got to do your time. But yeah, amazing experience. It was unreal. I had a lot of fun and yeah, super commercial. When I used to do training camps out in Korea, for example, they'd throw us in with the Koreans and they were weapons. Like, you knew you'd go in and you were gonna get fucked up for 2 weeks. And then, like, when I went to Thailand, I was like, everyone's foreign here. Where are the Thais? So, yeah, very, very foreign gym. And then that was the same situation with Super Pro. Super Pro is a bit more no frills. And it's funny, like, we went from this social media gym that was so beautiful And then we go to the reception. And I can see like their BJJ section's brand new, looks amazing. And they were like, yeah, we're here for the Muay Thai. They're like, oh, okay, cool. So we paid. And then they were like, all right, we were gonna walk to the BJJ section because we thought we were gonna do it there. They're like, no, just take this alleyway to the back. And it was raining, and we go down this dingy little alleyway, and it's this shack, this open air shack with like four very old rings that are falling apart, and they've put like mats. So you can jump, so you're not stepping on the concrete, so you're jumping between mat and mat, and then you jump in the ring, and it's just we warmed up and then straight sparring for like 10 rounds. And it was like, fuck, you knew this place was just breeding fighters, like even though the kind of people that were there, it smelled, it was just a shock compared to where we were, which was like brand new, pretty, but I was like, okay, this is where you go if you want to get better, like faster, right? So yeah, it was a bit of a shock. And then we went to Bangtan, which I would say is a hybrid between the two. So brand new facilities, again, all foreigners. And then you've got mixed abilities. You've got, more serious fighters, but you also have the beginner fighters if you wanted to do. It depends on the classes that you go to. And I think for the fighting class, again, you need to be invited.
Let's say that there's some people listening to the podcast right now, and they're in your position that you were in when you were younger, and they happen to be a girl that wants to train, but they're unsure if they're going to do it or not because either things are holding them back or they're unsure about themselves. What would you say to this subgroup of people to incentivize them to train?
What would I say to them? I would say it's a male-dominated industry. It's intimidating. Like I almost didn't do Muay Thai because of the first Muay Thai gym that I went to, which I'm not going to say the name of. It was quite local to me. It was the closest one, and they have pro fighters there. It's a well-known gym. I walked in and I asked the receptionist, yeah, I want to do Muay Thai. Like, okay, have you done anything before? I was like, I've done Taekwondo. And he kind of gave me like a stank face. And he was like, yeah, those kicks won't work here. And already I'm like petrified as hell walking into this scene, right? And then he says that to me, and I'm holding the pamphlet, by the way. This is the pamphlet. So I was like, okay, turn around and leave. And I was like, nah, not going.
Did
We're not
you
going.
leave?
I did leave. I did leave.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I'm not gonna say who that guy is. He's very well known. But like, yeah, he really threw me off because I believed him as well. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I'm gonna get killed, Like it's just, and I'm seeing everyone training as well, and it's high intensity, and everyone's jacked up, and they're not wearing their tops. In Taekwondo, you're wearing a uniform, right? So it's like, what the hell is going on? They're sweaty, there's tats, and I'm like, oh, maybe I don't belong here. So then I walked straight back out. Luckily, there was a second gym that's the one that I'm based at now, Open Sparring. And yeah, their Instagram, what's it called? Their Instagram bio said friendliest gym in Sydney. So I was like, this is what I needed. And then yeah, when and I was like, yeah, this is like literally that one line has sold me. I didn't even look at their ratings or anything. So headed to Open, and the coach was freaking amazing, Jordan. He's unreal because he's very accepting of other styles. In fact, he incorporates it into his lessons. Like he loves when people bring different movements. And he's not a, Muay Thai till I die, and like we only do Muay Thai and we only say away, like it's just no, let's incorporate different styles, let's learn from each other. And it's such a welcoming and encouraging environment for women as well. And I'm sure the other gym is too. It's just that guy gave a really bad impression. Because they've got weapon female fighters who are like killing it at the moment. But it's just a shame that, that was our interaction.
I've never gone to Thailand. I'm planning on doing a trip at one point. I want to train in Thailand. It's the go-to, you know this. It's another level. So I want to go, but I have seen that I haven't gone. There's one stadium that I wanted to visit, and it is the, I don't know how to say it, it's the Raja Dam Nam Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about that. What was that like?
Raja, yeah, I can't say it either. That stadium is, so we went to two events. We went to, oh my God, what
Bro,
is
what is happening with this fucking meeting? What the fuck, man?
we went to, we watched two, doesn't like you.
Yeah, not today.
That stadium was an amazing experience. It was like the matchups were amazing. You had fighters from all over the world repping their countries. Like you knew that you were going to get quality Muay Thai fights. And then the second stadium we went to was in Phuket. I forgot the name of it, but it's one of those like betting stadiums. And then as I was watching the fights, I'm like, these are rigged. These are like half of these are rigged because like a lot of the Thai opponents would fake knockouts. Like you could tell, like it wouldn't even hit them and they'd fake
Yeah, I've
knockouts.
seen that. I don't know what the fuck that's about. It's weird.
Well, I was asking, so I was with the Bang Tao crew and I was asking like, what's going on here? They were like, look, chances are 50% of this is rigged. And they're just doing it for the money. It just, I did not feel good watching. I feel like I left my morals at the door, and then I was watching these fights, and I was like, this is not it. But the Raja, that stadium, can't say it, but that one, quality Muay Thai fighters. It was unreal, unreal experience. Highly recommend for anyone in Bangkok to go and visit.
Dua, you gotta pick one. It's either being a DJ or doing martial arts. What are you picking?
Martial arts.
So, what are you doing with your DJ career? Where do you want that to go?
So my DJ career is like last year I did a competition. Last year I did a DJ competition called Your Shot. I don't know if you know it. It's based in Australia. No, come on, man. It's a DJ comp that targets beginner DJs and people that have zero experience. They run it every year. And so that's actually why I started my public account, because it was a requirement to have a public presence. So I was like, all right, cool, let me make this DJ page. Anyways, when I submitted the application, until it was time to actually do the comp, there was like a 4 month buffer. And I was like, you know what? Let me just film what I'm doing in Muay Thai. So I propped the camera on the floor and I just filmed myself doing pads. And I just started posting. Like, let me just build a personality on this so the DJ competition organizers can see, okay, look, she's multifaceted. She's got all these hobbies. And then my DJ page slowly started turning into my Muay Thai page because I went viral a couple of times from my Muay Thai videos. So the first video that really hit it off for me was my back kick KO. And that one was just, it just went berserk. The amount of reshares that were happening, it was going into the millions. And I was getting all these followers, like I was gaining 3,000 followers every single day. I was getting DMs, and I was like, what is going on? What is this, you know? And then, yeah, like I said before, I asked my friend who's a social media manager, I was like, hey, what do I do? What's going on? She was like, you can monetize this, keep posting. Like the algorithm's favoring your content, keep posting now. So, like, all right, cool. Kept posting and it kept growing. And then, literally within 6 months, I'd hit 100K followers. And then now, at 11 months, I'm on like over 230 or something. It's just snowballed into this, like accidentally snowballed into this martial arts page, which was never my intention. It was more so for my DJ stuff. But yeah, I post DJ stuff here and there. I ended up winning that competition, sorry, the DJ comp. And following that, I got approached by a few promoters and I, played for them. It's more of a hobby for me. I love music, I love mixing, and I love, going out, but it's like the complete antithesis to Muay Thai. So it's really hard to find a balance between the two. It's one or the other. So DJing, it's more occasional, if I want that release. But yeah, Muay Thai is where my heart's at.
Final question of the show is, what is your next goal for combat sports? You don't have to say your final end goal for the venture, just what you're trying to plan out next and trying to achieve.
So the next immediate goal would be to fix rehab my knee. As soon as I'm able to fight again and get back to, fighting fitness, jump back in the ring. Really like immerse myself in the sport. Understand Muay Thai stylistically, and I just want to evolve. I want to get away from taekwondo. I want to stop doing the taekwondo shit. I really want to go head deep into Muay Thai and demonstrate that I can do Muay Thai. I'm not just the, one trick pony. When I went to Thailand, that's when my Muay Thai really flourished. And it was after my first fight. So I'm like, it's annoying. Should have done this beforehand, but it's okay. Like, at least I got those weeks in the bank. And going forward, I know where my training is going.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dua, for your time. Is there any final remarks or statements you want to say to the fans at home as we wrap up the podcast?
The fans, the accidental followers. Thank you so much for your support. If you listen this far, genuinely from the bottom of my heart, like I've been able to cultivate such a beautiful community around martial arts, and for the most part, they're so supportive. Again, like I said, it's only when I go viral do you get the weirdos and the arguments, but my core people are insane and they're amazing, and I can't wait to create more content for you guys.
Follow Dua on Instagram, links in the fucking
Johnny.
description, and follow anything combat. We'll see you guys next time. Bye bye.